Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Cap.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
Hi, this is JC Fox.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collins.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic.
Hello everybody, it's Omar Rudberg and you're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
The last couple of shows I've listened to The Troy Murphy Show, I've nearly had a couple of accidents because my eyes have been watering with laughter so much.
Is it me? Am I the problem? Surely I can't be the only one that thinks that the world is going bananas. With doctors last summer claiming the term morbidly obese to be ditched. Look, I understand morbidly obese is not a glamorous term, but unlike the morbidly obese lifestyle, one should not have to sugarcoat everything to explain that it's problematic.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, and the people who are hate listening as usual and whispering in the comments about my show. Ooh, clutch the pearls. Welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I am, of course, your host, Troy Murphy. And this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. Yes, that's right. It's that glorious time of the week again. Thursday nights from 7 p.m. when the Troy Murphy Show graces the two of us, our bandwidth and airwaves, for an exciting adventure of talk till 8 p.m. covering everything from the serious news at the back to the weird, wacky and wonderful news at the front. It's where celebrities stop by for a chat and people far smarter than I join to talk topics that need experts' opinions on. And have we got a great expert in store for you tonight? Way smarter than I am. And of course, the Troy Murphy Show house band is in the house. Big thank you to BJ Grossi and the one and only legendary Gossip Girl for kicking off Thursday drive as we now enter into 2SR at night on the Troy Murphy Show. Well, you know, we're going to address some of the whispers going around. Yep, there's people whispering about this show. And one not to, ignore a chance to address problematic people. I'm going to talk about it. We'll also take a look at baby pigeons. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon? There's a reason why you haven't. And don't lie, you haven't seen one. Unless, you know, you climb into bird nests and are weird. But general. Anyway, we'll also talk about that book. Yes, that book from Big W. And a marketing expert stops by to chat all about why we see big corporations jumping on social issues. Is there a marketing reason they do it? Is it for social change? Or is there something more deceptive to it? Stay tuned for that. All that and so much more tonight here on the Troy Murphy Show. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here on the Troy Murphy Show. Responsibly. Don't try this at home.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy Show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SR 99.7 FM.
Something something a little different to start the show this week. Now, normally the mantra here is fun stuff at the front, serious stuff at the back, but we're going to have a little bit of serious at the front because I need to address something. There have been whispers in the corridors, mostly here at this here station, about my show and whether or not, you know, we're allowed to do the type of show that I do here on community radio. I am practically the only person who does a full hour talk show giving opinion on the news of the week. And you see the little whispers, the chattery whispers that go about and then you end up hearing about anyway. Well, they're going around having a bit of a whisper, sort of saying, you know, can Troy do this? Is it a problem? You know, I think someone's trying to get me into a little bit of trouble. But what I thought I would do here on the show is reveal how the sausage is made, how the sausage of community radio is made. I'm going to reveal what is behind the curtains, and it is indeed a little bit of a wizard. All right, see, for those who are playing along, and of course, you know, the whispers are people who play along, but general listeners at home, you see, community radio is a great medium. We're all volunteers. We all do this for the love of it. But there are rules. There are rules to what we can do. And the rules, well, I'll be a little bit honest, they haven't quite kept with the times. They are a little bit restrictive. The things we can and can't do here on community radio, well, it's quite different, say, if I was doing a show on internet radio, which I've done before, or on, you know, a internet social media platform such as your Facebooks and your TikToks. There are more rules to be here on community radio, but I thought I would go through and explain the rules. And you see, the rules for community radio are governed by a little organization, a great organization called the CBAA, the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. And they have a document called the Codes of Practice. The codes you must follow when you are practicing the art of broadcasting radio. And in that code of practices book, they have all these subcodes. But the one I want to go to is called Code 3, which is titled General Programming. Yes. And of course, in general programming, there's about about seven, maybe more points in there. But I'm going to skip through to point 6 because that's what's relevant here for the Troy Murphy Show and the type of program that I do here that will negate and hopefully quieten down some of the whispers going around the Tuzar corridors. You see, point number 6 in the Codes of Practice Code 3 General Programming list here is all about programs that all shows in my case, same thing, which is just a fancy title, that are of news, current affairs, documentaries, features, programs, and interviews. And it says that news, current affairs, including news updates and promotions, documentaries, feature programs, and interviews, shall A, provide access to views not adequately represented by other broadcasting sectors. That's point A. There are a few more in this, but let's have a look at that because this is a pretty broad brush which allows the Troy Murphy Show to do what it does. I'll go back to it. Provide access to views. Views are opinions, and views are of the news and a current affairs, which is exactly what this here, the Troy Murphy Show, does. Even though we do the fun stuff at the front, that's the silly news, the weird, wacky, wonderful news that we love to do each week. But the serious stuff at the back of the show is viewpoints to news and current affairs. That's what the Troy Murphy Show is. And not adequately represented by other broadcasting sectors. Well, I would argue that because I am not broadcasting on any other sector, that, well, being me with my own unique views, well, I'd say that no other sector is adequately representing my view. It's definitely one of a kind, which is why, let's be honest, The Troy Murphy Show is the most listened to show here at 2SSR. I've got the numbers. We've got the numbers. We look at the on-demand system, which is the playback system. I have more listeners. The Troy Murphy Show has more listeners in total since we started doing the on-demand than every other program here at 2SSR added together. How's that for some stats? And how's that for some listenership? People are listening to the Troy Murphy Show more so than they are any other show here at 2SSR combined. All right, let's go back to this Community Broadcasting Association of Australia Codes of Practice Code 3 General Programming Rulebook. We're doing number 6. We've done A. Let's go to B. Present factual material accurately. Well, we do. A lot of research goes into this program each week, and ensure that reasonable efforts are made to correct substantial errors or fact as quickly as possible. If I were to make an error, I am one of those type of people that would say, put my hand up and say, yes, I made a mistake. I own up to it. Haven't needed to do that, but with a weekly show, I would definitely make a retraction or correct an error the following week, if not sooner, on my social media pages, The Troy Murphy Show. Also, the next one is point 6C, which is clearly distinguish factual material from commentary and analysis. As always, that is done here on The Troy Murphy Show. We talk about the news and then we jump into the opinion. There we have it. There are a few other points, but they don't really relate to this here program, nor the whispers going around the corridors here at 2SSR. But I thought I'd start this show because, you know, the whispers have to be quietened down. I am hearing them. You know, people think, oh, I'll just whisper this one. But, you know, yeah. What's that saying? Telephone, telegraph, teleradio presenter. Yeah, we all find out what's going on. Works when you want to get something out there. But, you know, if you want to keep something a little bit hush-hush, never does work. But that is a little reveal of behind the curtain how the sausage is made here on community radio. There are rules of which we have to abide to and by. And, well, the Troy Murphy Show, as unique as it is, and also as unique as it is with being the most listened to program here at 2SSR, maybe people want one-hour talk shows about news and news opinion. Maybe that's what they want over music programs where you hear the same old tracks played over that, or tracks you've never heard of, in, or tracks from a time gone by that are so obsolete and obscure, who knows what you're listening to. Maybe that's what people want to listen to. Maybe that's why the Troy Murphy Show has the most listeners of everyone else combined. But what we do know, they're all hypotheticals, but what we do know is that here on community radio, news and current affairs shows and programs shall provide access to views not adequately represented by other broadcast sectors. And the key word in that is views. This is here an opinion-based program. I give my unique opinion here on this program that is not represented on other broadcast sectors, because I am not on any other broadcast sector, and an opinion is a view, which goes to show that what we do here on the Troy Murphy Show is in fact thumbs up, A-OK, in accordance to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia, the governing body that dictates what we can and can't do here on community radio. You are listening to the most listened to program here on 2SSR, The Troy Murphy Show, and we'll hashtag that as rant over.
2SSR FM 99.7. Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click The Troy Murphy Show on the 2SSR.com.au homepage program guide. We'll be right back.
stick around, because coming up next here on the Troy Murphy Show, the weird, the wacky, the wonderful news, and the philosophical questions. Are baby pigeons real? Or are they indeed mythical creatures? We have the answer for you next. But first, let's take a look at the news that broke across the Sutherland Shire this week. Passengers across the Sutherland Shire and St George have expressed frustration over service disruption under new operator U-Go Mobility, attributing blame to management as a sweeping timetable change has resulted in undisclosed cuts to numerous bus services, leaving commuters affected. The affected routes are 340, 341, 446, 450, 452, 455, 922, 923, 924, 926, 927, 939, 942, 943, 944, 945, 946, 947, 958, 959, 961, 962, 963, 967, 968, 969, 970, 971, 973, 974, 975, 976, 977, 978, 985, 993, and M92. Call out bingo if your bus route wasn't affected. Good news to all this. Look, we've had a lot of people contact the Troy Murphy Show in the last week about the affected timetables and bus services, especially from the Engadine area. And thank goodness for good community-minded people out there in Engadine who, of their own goodwill and good nature, set up a community transport system where they went out in shifts, collecting the elderly especially, who were stranded at bus shelters, waiting for, in some cases, buses that never turned up. Great to see the Sutherland Shire community spirit alive out there in Engadine and across the Shire as this U-Go Mobility bus disaster ravishes the Shire. And, well, from what I understand, because the state government has not gotten back to me with my raised questions about, well, their inability to contract a decent bus service for the Shire. I have heard on the grapevine that the state government and U-Go Mobility will be working together to, well, fix the problem, and that U-Go Mobility are desperately seeking new bus drivers. But this is not over yet. This is not over, ladies and gentlemen, them, they, and all. I want to see who we get to point the finger and blame this one. Did someone stuff up in state government, or did U-Go Mobility lie about their ability to cater for the Sutherland Shire? We'll cover that in news as the news breaks.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7pm Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
As promised, time to do some of the fun stuff at the front as we take a look at the weird, the wacky, and the wonderful news from around the world, as well as ask and hopefully answer some of the most baffling psychological... Philosophical, that's the word I'm looking for. Philosophical questions ever asked and hopefully answered. Have you ever wondered why baby pigeons seem as elusive as, say, oh, I don't know, a unicorn riding a leprechaun? Well, my friends, the great pigeon expert has spoken. And I am not the pigeon expert. No, there is actually someone who is a pigeon expert. But her name is Deborah Krynski. We don't have her on the show. We're just talking about her here. It turns out, according to her, that baby pigeons are not mere mythical creatures, but rather they've been hiding in plain sight indeed. This Deborah Krynski, and I probably have pronounced her name incorrectly. Apologies if she is listening. We do know she probably is listening, as this is the big show here at 2SSR, who boldly points out that if you've ever claimed to have seen a baby pigeon, you're either lying or confusing them with an undercover super spy pigeon in disguise. Yes, and you know, I'm thinking back to my life experience. Not that I pay much attention to pigeons, but I cannot for the life of me recall ever seeing a baby pigeon. Because let's be honest, as annoying as pigeons are, babies are just cute. Baby animals, especially baby birds, are adorable. Come on, you got to agree with me. A baby pigeon, as annoying as they are, would be cute. Anyway, these little rascals, well, it turns out they're master escape artists. What they do is they hide their little baby faces, their little beakies, by blending in with adult pigeons. It's like a never-ending game of hide and seek the baby pigeons that they play with the rest of the world. Now, you might wonder how pigeons manage to achieve such undercover awesomeness. Well, according to this Queen Sky, Deborah, we'll just call her Deborah, they grow up faster than teenagers obsessed with social media in just 25 to 32 days. Yeah, they're out of the nest and they're ready to conquer the world, or at least the nearest park bench to poop all over. 20 to 35 days from being hatched to being a teenager, almost adult. No wonder why we don't see them as babies. They're growing at a pace that is unheard of. No wonder why we've never seen baby pigeons frolicking in the park or taking clumsy flight lessons. By the time they decide to venture out in the world, they're already rocking the whole adult bird look, like they've just stepped out of a pigeon fashion magazine. It's all part of their brilliant plan to avoid the ever watchful eyes of humans. So, listeners, ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, next time you think you've spotted a baby pigeon, think again. It's more likely a clever, disguised adult pigeon on a covert mission. And if you're lucky enough to find a real baby pigeon, treat it with care, because it's probably just a rookie who fell out of the nest during their spy training. Remember, pigeons might be the true masters of disguise among us and the animal kingdom. That's a very, very weird rant there, and a very, very weird sidetrack. Anyway, that's a wrap.
Catch up with all the latest news from The Troy Murphy Show. Visit www.thetroymurphyshow.com.
Stick around, because coming up next here on The Troy Murphy Show, have you ever wondered why big corporations and big business jump behind and support social issues? What has it got to do with big business? It's not like they themselves can affect change, or can they? Why do they do it? Well, we'll be talking to a marketing expert next here on the Troy Murphy Show. But first, let's take a look at the news that is breaking across the Sutherland Shire this week. The Sutherland Shire is set to host live screenings of two games during the finals of the FIFA Women's World Cup. The preferred location for the live site is Seymour Shore Park in Miranda. The Sutherland Shire Council and the Sutherland Shire Football Association have collaborated to secure the site after facing some initial challenges. The Women's World Cup is scheduled to begin tonight. And that's what's breaking this week in Sutherland Shire local news.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Free thing I miss at home. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz, Sunday 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Have you ever wondered why big business and corporations throw their money behind a social campaign? Do they want to see change? Or is there a more deceptive marketing ploy behind it all? Well, as always here on the show, when we need an expert opinion, we go to people far smarter than I to let us know what's going on. As joining us on the show to talk about the voice to parliament from a big business corporate point of view is marketing expert Dan Ratner. Dan, my friend, welcome.
Thank you, Troy, and thanks for having me. Far smarter than you are, apparently. I don't know about that, but I welcome us. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, Dan. Now, we've got the likes of Wesfarmers, Coles, Telstra, the NRL, Westpac, BP, Qantas, Origin Energy, ANZ, and so many more who have pledged their support and checkbooks to the Yes campaign for this Voice to Parliament coming up. Now, the journalist, or maybe the cynic in me, wants to know why. And Dan, that's why we have you here. So answer me this, Dan. Why do corporate organisations throw their support behind social issues such as The Voice? Is it because they genuinely believe in the issue, or is there marketing evidence that shows that if big business supports a social issue, it's better for the business? They get more customers and happier clients, or do they do it to negate negative backlash from the vocal minority, often on Twitter, who are always out to cancel the next person or business for not towing the line?
Big question. Very interesting. Firstly, I don't think it's such a bad thing in this instance. I think The Voice needs as much support as it can get.
Especially
under the circumstances.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the more reach they get, the better it is for that cause. But if we just look at it from a brand and marketing perspective, you often do find organizations aligning themselves and sponsoring not-for-profit and other activities to really help them experience what I would call brand rub-off. So I would say that is the basis for most of these organizations getting on top of these things. But in this instance, what we're dealing with is not an organization getting involved with a not-for-profit, it's an organization getting behind a political position, and that's interesting in of itself. So one thing is our friends helping us out with things like Clean Up Australia, which I'm a board member of, but other things are backing political activities like this, which I find interesting. So how do we answer this question? How is it going to help Wesfarmers? How's it going to help Coles? How's it going to help all these big businesses to get behind that? Is that around a social issue? Is it a brand issue? Is it a brand association issue? Is it cancel culture? It could be all of them. Every one of those organizations is probably going to do it for its own purposes, and it's all about attracting middle Australia and attracting consumers. So Yeah, it's all of it.
All of it.
I don't know if that answers the question. But yeah, I mean, it's sometimes I talk about marketing constructs. So I talk about the opportunity for organizations to create narrative, to place themselves in that narrative and construct a message for an audience so that they can create relevance around it. And clearly this is one of those conversations that they can have with their marketplace, which allows them to take focus off other things that might be going on and move that conversation around. You could argue that the government's doing that right now in the context of inflation. So, you know, we have a conversation about voice in the context of inflation to change the conversation and move the narrative around.
Yeah.
Big business is doing the same thing. So this is an opportunity for those organizations to place their brand into that conversation.
Do you think it's the right conversation to be had from a marketing point of view? So let's look at this from not so much the supporting a social issue, but we'll get to that in a second, but more so the latter two, which was better for business or negating the vocal minority as part of cancel culture. Do you think they might be having a little bit of a panic moment now that we're getting more data from polling that the majority are now supporting the no vote?
I think that's a bigger question. I mean, I don't think it's about supporting a no vote or supporting a yes vote. Mm. And it's not necessarily about them getting behind that. To me, the no or yes vote is circumstantial, it's contextual. So we're dealing with a context where voters are feeling pressure over the cost of living, for example.
Well, that was so my consequently, next question, yes.
They're looking at, yeah. Well, they're looking at this social question and saying, right now I'm worried about how much my bread and milk costs me. Why do I need to think about this now? What is my government doing to make my life easier? Yes. That's separate, and that could be swaying the decision, not necessarily having an effect on the brand association for a vote around voice.
Well,
does that make sense?
It does, but could it also have a backlash against these companies? So, for instance, I'm projecting here. I was walking through Coles the other day, and I heard them play an ad for their support to The Voice, and I'm going there, and I'm thinking, okay, fair enough, good point, but where's your concern about the fact that my grocery bill has increased by almost 50% in the last 12 months? Why are you grandstanding and being all moralistic and you know, telling me how I should be voting or showing that your support is there when I know it's an issue that affects Australians, but it's some Australians, and where the whole of Australia is suffering from, say, this cost of living thing. Do you think that, you know, is it just me being a cynic as I walk through being a grumpy old man, or would this have a flow-on effect with the majority of Australians going through Coles thinking, hey, what about me, to quote Shannon Noll?
I'm having deja vu. And I'll tell you why I'm having deja vu, because this continuously happens. And let me tell you, has it affected the impact, or has it impacted these brands at all in any other circumstance? No, it hasn't. Coles is still standing.
Yeah.
Woolworths is still standing. These organizations still stand because we operate in a duopoly. There's only two of these organizations. And the cost of living crisis is going on, and it's always good to have something to distract the consumer away from the cost of living crisis. So why not jump onto another social issue? This isn't going to affect their brands at all.
Probably not. They're Although I did think that, you know, look, I won't shop here because of that, but then the next day I'm in Coles again because it's convenient. So
yeah. Well, that's the point, which is the point about from a convenience perspective, you're going to keep using these brands, you're going to keep shopping at these places, you're going to keep using. I mean, did you leave Optus if you had the Optus breach?
No.
And if you did, where did you go? And then what happened?
That's
like
true.
At the end of the day, what happens is you've got this consumer expects so little from the brands in this country. God, I can't believe I'm saying that. But consumers, the watermark is so low here. Competition is not that rife. Brands can get away with stuff that they wouldn't get away with in other countries that are much more competitive.
Yeah. So why jump on board and waste the millions that they're throwing at this campaign then?
You have to change the narrative. You have to have a different conversation with your customer. You have to continue having a conversation with your customer. And sometimes you have to look at things like it's AFL week, so we're going to run and you know, it's grand final. Right. We're going to run a grand final advertising.
So, yeah, $5 off the of chickens this week is no longer a good conversation to have with customers. It's about the latest social issue and jumping on that.
These are reasons to have a conversation with the marketplace. You have to have those conversations. And it keeps you relevant. It keeps you buoyant. It keeps you top of mind.
Right. So that in turn relates to that. In turn, will increase sales. Really, the more these conversations.
Well, it drives up relevance. Keeps you top of mind. Keeps you in the conversation. That's why people are into this sort of thing. That's why we're creating marketing. That's why we construct marketing. That's why we communicate in marketplaces. That's why we tell people things. That's why we tell them stories. So they're attaching themselves to this issue today because that's an issue that helps the brand to stay relevant within the current context. It also changes the conversation, so it's not focused on the price of chickens.
There we go. That is fascinating. Yes, that makes a lot of sense, and totally negates my in-depth, very long conversation of all the possibilities this could be when it's just a very simple answer of it's just the way the market goes to keep them at the forefront of being spoken about so they are relevant companies. I love that. Dan Ratner, thank you so much for joining us on the show today and helping us navigate through this difficult marketing question.
Such a difficult way. I think both of us are pretty cynical about all of this. And I mean, I'm a brand guy. So for me, it's very interesting to see all of these machinations in action and happy to share my thoughts.
Thank you, Dan. If we ever have a marketing question again, you are back on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Troy.
DSSR FM 99.7.
Follow The Troy Murphy Show on Twitter. Search Troy Murphy.
Stick around because coming up next here on the Troy Murphy Show, we talk about that book. Yes, that book that got Big W in trouble this week. Now, if you are easily offended by the adult cuddle terms and education, or if you have young ones listening, now is your cue to turn the radio off. Yes, turn your radio off. Because we're going to be talking about adult cuddles and the education of adult cuddles and more for younger adults. But first, a look at the news that is breaking across the Sutherland Shire. Heathcote Road, specifically the section between New Illawarra Road and the Princess Highway, will experience closures during the coming weekend and on several week nights. The reason for these closures is to facilitate the completion of the Warrenora River Bridge and Approaches upgrade. Transport for New South Wales has stated that the closures are necessary to ensure the safety of the construction work and to minimise disruptions for road users during peak traffic hours. The specific closure dates are as follows: Friday the 21st of July from 8 p.m. until Sunday 23rd of July from 2 p.m, Tuesday the 25th of July from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m, and Monday the 31st of July and Tuesday the 1st of August from 9 a.m. to 5 a.m. During these periods, traffic including freight and B-double trucks up to 26 meters long will be rerouted by the Princess Highway at Kirrawee and the Bangor Bypass. This detour is meant to ensure the smooth flow of traffic while the necessary upgrade work is carried out. And that's what's breaking in the news across the Sutherland Shire.
Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Time for a bit of a rant here on the Troy Murphy Show. You know how we love a good rant. And this rant today, well, I am divided on. Part of me agrees with it, part of me doesn't. And as a little bit of a warning up the front, this is a news story, a breaking news story that has broken across the media this week. We are covering it here on the Troy Murphy Show as it is relevant news, but it does contain some adult content. So If you are easily squirmish to adult concepts of cuddling nature, or there are young kiddies, there shouldn't be any young kiddies listening to the show at this time of night. But if they are, turn off the radio, come back in about 10 minutes' time. If you are squeamish or don't like this kind of conversation, you too, turn off. The warning's there at the front. The sale of a sex education book for children as young as 8 at Big W has ignited a heated debate among parents, educators, and the public. The book in question is called Welcome to Sex, Your No Silly Questions Guide to Sexuality, Pleasure, and Figuring It Out. It's authored by Dr. Melissa Kang and TV presenter and celebrity Yumi Steins, who has come under a little bit of fire of late. Always controversial, Yumi. Always. It has drawn both support and outrage due to its content and target audience. Critics argue that the book contains explicit and age-inappropriate material, raising concerns about the discussions of sexual activities such as oral and anal sex, masturbation, and explicit terminology. They argue that such content is too mature for children as young as 8, and that it may expose them to concepts that they are not ready to comprehend or engage in. Now, the book itself is said to be aimed at young teenagers, so the 13 to 15, but it is Yumi Steins who came out and also stated that, you know, she thought that a mature 8-year-old would also benefit from the book. Now, I have a very smart 7-year-old niece. She is very smart, but I've seen this book, not in person, not at Big W, but online. I've seen a few of the pages that people have shared, and I don't want her reading this. I'm not a dad, but I'm an uncle who is very, who helps out with his nieces a lot, who loves his nieces. I want to be part of their lives, and I just don't think this is the kind of conversation that they're ready for. Now, I'm not their parent. My brother and my sister-in-law, they might think that this is a good idea, but I don't think it would be for my niece or any of my nieces or nephew. Mind you, the nephew is not even 2 yet, can't talk, but, still too early, still too early. I'm rambling. Anyway, Rachel Wong, she's the chief executive for the Women's Forum in Australia. She took to Twitter to express her concerns, questioning why Big W was selling a graphic sex guide for kids that included explicit instructions and promoted gender ideology. The book's content has been described as disgraceful, that's a quote there, and an interference with parental rights. Some individuals believe that it is inappropriate to introduce sexual topics to children at such a young age, and they argue that the book may undermine the role of parents as primary educators on these subjects. They express fears that children may be prematurely sexualized or exposed to content that they are not emotionally or physiologically ready to handle. Critics contend that the book's inclusion of explicit content and imagery in the form of a cartoon is unnecessary and potentially harmful to the healthy development and innocence of young children. And that's the part that I agree with. It's the innocence of young children. Once you start talking about self-pleasure and pleasuring others and all that sort of stuff, and you take away the innocence of a child. You should always, always try to let a child hold on to their innocence for as long as they can. And, you know, that innocence in young children is diminishing year on year with the access of the internet. Why add fuel to the fire? Now, on the other side of the debate, and here's where part of what I agree, supporters of the book view it as a valuable educational resource that addresses the realities of sexuality and helps children navigate their curiosity in a safe and informed manner. this is what I agree with, because when I reflect on my youth, not when I was eight, but in my teens, I was, and especially early teens, you know, you go through puberty, it's hell for guys. I don't know what it's like for a girl. I'm not a girl. I don't pretend to be a girl. I've never identified as a girl. I don't have the bits for a girl. I've never gone through female puberty. I don't know what it's like for women. I can speak or project on behalf of my own experience as a male. It's hell. And back in my day, we didn't have the internet at all. We didn't know what was going on. We had to make it up as we went along. And back then, you know, nowadays we can openly, and younger people have it easier. They can openly speak about this stuff, as parents, my generation who have young kids, are more open to talking about with this sort of subjects with their kids. My parents didn't at all. I've spoken about it on the show before. The basic talk I got was a hand-me-down conversation from my twin brother, because my mum had the conversation with him first, but it was all to do with our diabetes and making sure that we had enough sugar in our system before having the exercise that goes with adult relationships. That is as much of a birds and bees conversation as I had. No wonder why I was a late bloomer. Not that you need to know that, but anyway, it's just all part of the story that we're telling here on the radio tonight. Now, Yumi Steins, one of the book's authors, explained in an Instagram post that the intention behind the book was to provide accurate and reliable information about sex and consent. I like the consent part. Counteracting the potential negative influence of pornography on young people. Steins compares the book to a driver's education manual, suggesting that it equips children. Oh, can we not say children? Can we say young teens, please? This should not be going to children. Young teens. With the knowledge to make informed choices and promotes safer and healthier sexual experiences in the future. Look, I agree with that, but there's one part that I don't agree in the book, but I'll get to that later. Those in favor of the book argue that children, young teens, come on, not children, often turn to the internet for information about sex. It is there. That's what the internet is there for. A large percentage of the internet is all about the old adult cuddle, where they may encounter unreliable or harmful content. Oh, Google search terms are terrible. Terrible. They believe that providing age-appropriate and fact-based resources like Welcome to Sex can empower young adults to navigate these topics responsibly and seek guidance from trusted sources. Supporters appreciate the book's frankness, and it focuses on consent, gender inclusivity, and the importance of understanding one's own body. Now, Big W, the retailer selling the book, and I think Target also sells it, and Dimmicks, well, they've faced criticism for their decision to stock the controversial title. However, the company defended its choice, emphasizing that it offers a wide range of books and products that represent a diverse Australian community. Big W stated that Welcome to Sex is shelved in the parenting section of the book's category, allowing parents to make their own decisions regarding what is appropriate for their families. And also an update to this, I think Big W is no longer selling it in stores and that it is available to buy online. The debate surrounding the book's content and target audience reflects the ongoing discussion around sex education, age appropriateness, and parental rights. It highlights the challenges of finding a balance between providing children with accurate information about sexuality while respecting the values and beliefs of different families. The controversy has sparked a broader conversation about how society approaches sex education and the responsibility of educators and parents in preparing children for their sexual lives. In my opinion, I am not a parent, so I really shouldn't have an opinion, but being an overspoken radio host, I think it should be left to the parents. Parents know when their children are ready. And if parents are, you know, a little bit awkward about having the conversation, this book could be a good bridging gap to having the communication. Here, read this, you know, if you're too awkward to have the convo. You wouldn't want to sit there and go through it with your teenage. That would be weird. But you can give them the book if they're at that age where you think it's appropriate, that you feel that they've had gone through that change. I would have appreciated that. But this idea that it's for children as young as 8 and the consistent mention of the word child or children in this article disturbs me. I don't think it's right, especially when part of the book itself talks about naked photos. We've all sexted before, where you take a naked picture of yourself. And it talks about chopping, making sure you chop your head off, so it's not a photo with your face, so it's hard to prove that it's you. Although in today's day and age, thank goodness for AI technology, you can just say someone created an AI image of you and it's all fake. But it does promote that. But this is aimed at teenagers and young people under the age of consensual sex. So it's kind of, it's illegal to send these pictures, and you're teaching children, young adults, how to take these pictures. That's probably where I draw the line. I take most issue with this book. Potentially that's the most pressing thing. But then again, in today's day and age, this sort of stuff needs to be spoken about, and young children need the education. And if they can't get it comprehensively through their school or their parent, well, maybe this book is a good thing. I told you I was on the fence with this. Projecting my own personal experience and also projecting my protectiveness of my 8-year-old, soon-to-be 8-year-old niece, who I wouldn't want reading this at the age she is. Maybe when she's 12 or 13. I'm pretty sure she's going to be able to handle it more then, but not at 8. Not at 8. What are your thoughts? Jump on the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page or Twitter and have your say.
Stay tuned. More from the Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Whether you're growing older, rehabilitating, or living with a disability, help is always here at AdaCare. Our new showroom in Sylvania isn't the only reason people choose AdaCare. It's also the information you gain from a chat with our people. Stay informed about the latest equipment, streamlined procedures, and funding options available to you by calling 1300 133 120 or visiting adacare.com.au. AdaCare is a registered NDIS provider, home care supplier and DVA specialist, and is a proud sponsor of 2SSR.
Did you know federal government departments have the power to stop you hearing and reading what they don't want you to know? They can approve the terms for huge sales of agricultural land to foreign companies, but you're not allowed to know. And federal police can raid journalists' homes for reporting the truth if it says you're not allowed to know. Could this happen in Australia? It's happening now. Find out what they don't want you to know at yourrighttoknow.com.au.
Authorised by Australia's Right to Know Sydney.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7pm Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
And as the show draws to a close for another week, we spoke about it earlier, but on a different topic. But the voice to Parliament, I'm over it. I'm over it. We don't even know the date of it yet, and I'm over it. You know, I feel like any time it pops up in the news, tweeting Albo and going, hey, buddy, just name the date. Let's get this over and done with. Australia is over it. Australia has had enough. This week we saw both the yes and no campaign pamphlets be released. Well, at least the poorly put together text documents with 10 reasons why you shouldn't vote and 10 reasons why you should vote for the voice to Parliament. And Look, you know, I think 10 was probably too much because they weren't all strong arguments. The no, probably in my opinion, possibly did a little bit better with their reasons to vote no because they actually have information to go off, whereas the yes camp, as always, has just been wishy-washy. It's all the vibe, man. It's all the vibe. But we did see Albo do an interview the other day, Wednesday, and on radio station 2GB here in Sydney, where he spoke to Ben Fordham about The Voice. It was a good interview, about half an hour, and it was great to see a, a journalist actually asking the questions that everyday Australians are asking in regards to The Voice and what it would mean. But, you know, I was listening carefully to the interview and have a listen to this piece and you'll hear Albo say, do they, questioning whether Australians would possibly vote for recognition in the Constitution should, as Ben Fordham suggests, that the two questions that are going to be asked as one in the referendum question, which is should we recognise the Aboriginal people in the Constitution, and the second part of the question is should we set up a voice to Parliament and should it be enshrined in the Constitution. Ben Fordham's suggestion, and many have also suggested this, we have spoken about it here on the show, that you actually either split the question or you get rid of the latter, get rid of the enshrining it in the Constitution, The Voice, and you just legislate that in Parliament. And the referendum be, should we recognise the First Nations people, the Aboriginal people in the Constitution, which I'm pretty sure, judging on the polls that I've seen and the people I've spoken to, that everyone would jump on board and vote unanimously in recognising our First Nations people in the Constitution. It's just that the doubt over The Voice being enshrined in the Constitution is what is making the no vote very popular. So let's take a listen to the audio here. It's a grab from 2GB. My feeling from this is that Albo doesn't even think that The Voice, as it is, will get up. Take a listen.
When you have a look at those numbers, it's falling through the floor. So why not use your power as Prime Minister? You won the election. No, legislate The Voice and let us vote on recognition, and Australia will overwhelmingly say yes any day of the week.
Will they, Ben?
Yes.
Will they say yes to recognition of Aboriginal people in the Constitution? I highly think we would as a country. We're not racist, not at all. We're just very cautious, and this is why I believe the no vote is currently on top. We're cautious about enshrining something that can't be removed from the Constitution that we don't know what it is. And of course, there's also the issue of it's a three-step process. First, there's the voice. And then there's treaty, and then there's truth-telling. This is all part of the box and dice. And even though in that interview, Albo said there would be no reparations, as in paying the rent, well, that's part of what treaty is. Treaty is part paying the rent. Now, I know I go ad nauseum on this, but here I'm going to try and make a promise. I know most of the show this week and many other weeks has been about The Voice, and I don't want this to become a voice program. So we're gonna do a little bit of a temporary ban on The Voice unless something major breaks, like the announcement of the final date, which I implore everyone, because I'm sure you're over it as much as I am. I implore you, jump on Twitter or jump on Albo's website and send him an email. Tell him, hurry up, name the date. And not at the back end of the year. It only takes 30-something days from the announcement to when the referendum can happen. It can happen next month. Let's have it next month. Let's get this over and done with so we can focus on the real issues. Because are you like me? Are you dubious about this whole voice thing and the length that Albo wants this to go for? Because it's going on and on and on. And we talk about it all day, every day, all week. Is it actually something that we need to talk about, or Is it a clever ploy to distract us from the real issues like cost of living, the nursing, and every other issue that is... well, life has changed since the change of government. Ponder that. Ponder that indeed.
It's crazy and it's zany. It's delirious but brainy. Tastes a little gamey. The Troy Murphy Show.
Weird. Unique. It's just like a train wreck. You just can't stop listening.
So turn the radio dial on. Thursday nights at 7 from. We're gonna put the ray on. The Troy Murphy Show.
And it's all over, just like that.
And that's it, the Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 7 p.m. for another edition of the Troy Murphy Show. If you missed any part of the show or want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving from tonight's extravaganza, listen back on demand by clicking the Troy Murphy Show on the program guide, as you can find on the 2SSR.com.au website, or if you podcast through iTunes or Spotify, I'm available there too. Until next week, my friends, bye for now.